Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It is Canty and Carlin. It is ESPN Radio. It is Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app, ESPN Plus, your smart speaker. However you found us, we're glad you did. It's not Canty or Carlin, though. It's Randy Scott and Amber Wilson in for the guys, as ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The conversation today, you can get in on it, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Twitter handles, we're glad you asked. Amber Wilson is at Amber W Sports. Me, I'm at Randy Scott ESPN, and at ESPN Radio is the overall handle. We have preseason football to get to. At this point yesterday, Amber, it was how many different ways and how many different angles can we take a look at, break down, analyze, spin forward, you know, just overall discuss the Deshaun Watson 11-game suspension. There's been that discussion throughout the ESPN airwaves over the last 24 to 36 hours. We're going to get to some of that today as well, but we do have actual preseason football to get to, and it actually starts with what we saw last night. And I think if you're making news, how about this? If you have a quarterback question, Amber, at this point of the preseason, chances are your ceiling's kind of low for the upcoming regular season. And I think we saw two of those teams last night in the Bears and the Seahawks out there in Seattle.
Yes, I would say the ceiling being low for both of these teams is an accurate description. Unfortunately for fans of either of these teams, I think that if you're a Seahawks fan, you're probably pretty focused maybe on who's going to be under center after next year's draft. Or maybe you're hoping Jimmy Garoppolo gets cut by the 49ers and that he makes an appearance within the division on your team. I don't think that you think Drew Lock or Geno Smith is going to be the long-term solution up there in Seattle. And Geno Smith had an opportunity last night to run away with this quarterback competition, right? With Drew Lock sidelined because he had tested positive for COVID-19, it felt like this was Geno Smith's moment to try to win the job, and he definitely didn't do that. I mean, he had some okay moments. He had some not so good moments. So I would say right now, still quite the quarterback competition in Seattle. And in Chicago, it's not a competition. We know it's going to be Justin Fields under center. The problem is, we don't know how good Justin Fields is, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to fully evaluate that this season.
That's precisely it. What we're going to know is Justin Fields is going to be relied upon for his versatile skill set. You know what I mean? Like, his ability to move the pocket, you could see some of it last night. And listen, football guy, I'll raise my hand and say that I understand that there are probably not a lot of cards being put on the table in the second week of the preseason in terms of the Bears putting on tape things that their opponents could use against them, and likewise for the Seahawks. But I think in order to get an evaluation of progressions from your quarterback, how he has progressed from year one to year two, he has to be upright. And they don't have the offensive line to do that necessarily under center or even out of the shotgun. So what we saw from Fields and what we saw from some of the design rollouts that Matt Eberflus's offense has installed is we're going to get this guy on the move. We're going to have him throw in rhythm. We're going to have him roll to his left, roll to his right. And we saw completions. I mean, there were the stat that jumped out to me that was alarming from a season ago with regard, you know, to Justin Fields and some of the offensive ineptitude that, quite frankly, if you're a Bears fan, you're like, why are we reliving this? Like, this is not something that, you know, any Bears fan wants to go through again. And when we had Courtney Cronin, our ESPN Bears reporter, on yesterday on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, I mean, the conversation, you know, included the fact that, like, the Bears are just happy to get points off of drives. You know what I mean? And So far this preseason, Fields is 9 of 14. He only played one drive last night. Mm-hmm. Let's keep that in mind. He's 9 of 14. Two of those five incompletions were drops. So if you want to call it 11 of 14, that would be a meteoric improvement off of his completion percentage a year ago. And specifically with regard to his quarterback rating, which was, so QBR was in the 20s. He was the worst lowest rated quarterback among qualified quarterbacks, but the quarterback rating was last night 11 points higher than his average, which was in the 70s a year ago. So even off of one drive, even off of just getting a field goal off of that drive, Amber, that's enough reason for optimism. I had Bears fans in my timeline being like, we have drives ending in points here. I don't know how to handle this.
They did. I mean, they ended that game in a lot of points overall, right? But you're right. Only Justin Fields was there for a portion of them. Just seven passes last night from Justin Fields. But five of those worked out. So that's really what you want to see if you're a Bears fan. You're just looking for improvement from Justin Fields this season. You're looking for more consistency from Justin Fields this season. You're looking for that accuracy. You're looking for him to not be making some of the boneheaded mistakes that he did make as a rookie. And in order for him to be able to do that, you do have to have a better line in front of him, because they led the league with, 58 sacks, I believe, last season. And Justin Fields spending that much time on his back obviously isn't going to be good for the development of any quarterback. But you saw what Eberflus was doing last night to try to put him in a better position. They also have a new blocking scheme for that O-line, but that O-line looked bad again last night. He didn't have much time to get things done. He was pressured just about every single time that he was trying to throw the ball. He was under duress on every passing play. But again, 5 of 7 for 39 yards. It's something from Justin Fields, and really something is all you need. You just need to feel a little bit better about the trajectory of Justin Fields by the end of this season before you all of a sudden start moving on and talking NFL draft, which is inevitably where we'll go. I mean, this is the quarterback who was finished fourth last season among quarterbacks in rushing yards, but you really want to see the development in terms of passing. And last night, maybe some development. There you go, Bears fans. Get excited.
And here, my thing too is, you know, if you're playing fantasy football, or if you're just a Bears fan looking to be excited about X's and O's, you know, all 22 football, Cole Kmet is going to be a problem this year. Cole Kmet is going to be a statistical monster because Justin Fields looks his way. It seems like he's the first option in some of the designed, you know, plays that the Bears are calling so far in the preseason. And some of that could be a fact that, you know, or a byproduct of the fact that they don't have a ton of wide receiver talent. Darnell Mooney seems to be wide receiver one, and okay, you're not sure how he stacks up among the rest of wide receiver ones across the National Football League, or even in that division necessarily. But you've got an option in Cole Kmet. You've got the ground game with David Montgomery. And I want to get over to the Seahawks. And you said that Geno Smith could have taken a stranglehold on that job last night and didn't. And I wonder if you could make the argument then, because I agree with you. Was Drew Lock the biggest winner out of last night for the Seahawks? A guy who, it sounds like, unfortunately, COVID's hit him fairly hard, and we hope he's feeling better and on the mend soon. But maybe the best thing he could have done for his candidacy in this quarterback battle is not playing and not putting anything on tape to diminish from the fact, or to draw attention away from the fact that Geno Smith struggled last night.
Geno Smith struggled. I mean, he had some moments. Some of the things weren't his fault either. He had a drive that then they got penalized for an illegal use of hands, and that put them out of field goal range. And the next drive, their kicker missed a field goal. And so you had some of that stuff going on with Geno Smith that was tempering the numbers and his opportunity there to drive the ball down the field. He did have a couple nice throws. You know, he did have some moments there where we picked up some big yardage, Randy, but he also had some deep passes that just looked really ugly and were far off the mark. He tripped over his own running back on a play action for a big loss at one point. So it was sort of Geno Smith being the inconsistent Geno Smith that, frankly, we have known for some time now. Now they brought in Drew Lock for a real competition there. But at this point, the reports out of training camp is that nobody's won that job yet. And I would say last night, I don't think Drew Lock won it. Like, Geno Smith wasn't that bad. You did have some of those good moments that I mentioned, but he didn't take the opportunity that was given to him to totally outshine Drew Lock and say, hey, this is my team. I should be under center all season long.
So if there are these quarterback questions for the Seahawks, why not address this in free agency, address this in the open trade market? Robert Turbin, who's a former Seahawks running back, and he was a Super Bowl champion there with the Seabirds, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and he attempted to answer, hey, why didn't Seattle go after Jimmy Garoppolo?
They don't have Jimmy G because of the 49ers. And the 49ers know they let Jimmy G go to the Seattle Seahawks. That's going to be trouble for the 49ers because Jimmy G is going to spill all the beans, all the beans to Pete Carroll in that defense for the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are comfortable with Geno, and regardless of what happens this season, you got some good quarterbacks coming in the draft next year. Maybe you trade up. You know, all of that remains to be seen. But I think the Seahawks would rather let it play out with the guys that they have than going out and getting somebody, spending extra money that they don't need to.
I understand that, but I do think, like, divisional rivalries notwithstanding, you have that need. But maybe it is a full understanding that despite what, you know, guys like, hey, we read that Lewis Riddick tweet yesterday, Amber. Lewis Riddick sees something special right now in the Seahawks, that they really do have the one position to lock down, and they'll be able to take that next step as an organization. I defer to him on that because I don't see it, but he's been boots on the ground out there in the Pacific Northwest. He's
I don't see it either. They had the quarterback last year, right? They had the quarterback for the last couple seasons in Russell Wilson.
They did.
They had a guy who had won them a Super Bowl in the past at the helm, and yet they weren't winning any sort of championships or even competing. So I don't really know why now they would be just a quarterback away. I mean, it's a strange team though, Randy, because it feels like they were starting over, but then it doesn't really feel like they're starting over when you consider Pete Carroll. You know, he's in his 70s now. Why would he want to go through a rebuild there in Seattle? They still have DK. So what does that mean? Of course, if you're bringing in a rookie quarterback after next year's draft, a deep draft, I mean, it's why we always keep mentioning it with quarterback. But some of these teams are going to position themselves to try to find the guy next year, because there's a lot of people who think the guy is available next year in this next upcoming NFL draft. And if you're Seattle, you might have been thinking, hey, he's going to need weapons. That's the reason for us to keep DK for the long term. But it is kind of a strange situation in Seattle, because you know it's not going to be Geno Smith. You know it's not going to be Drew Lock. And if it is Jimmy Garoppolo, it's not going to be via trade, because the 49ers aren't going to do that. Or if they did within the division, Seattle would have to give up way too much a quarterback who is injury prone, and it wouldn't even make sense. And then you consider his cap hit and everything else. I mean, it's possible he still ends up there, because it's also possible the 49ers have to cut Jimmy G.
Right.
We could still see it. And I guess then we find out if they're a quarterback away. I just have a hard time believing they're a quarterback away.
I don't know. They are. The running back room is stacked. I know that last night. Darwin Thompson hurdled a man. He hurdled a Bears defender. And Darwin Thompson isn't even on the depth chart on ESPN.com right now. I mean, he's that far buried because they have that much talent. Canty and Carlin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit Progressive.com. Hall of Fame quarterback thinks the Ravens are holding back Lamar Jackson. We're going to react to that after this word from Amber from FanDuel.
Start the second half of the baseball season the right way and turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code PLAY, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in match bets if you don't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code PLAY to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000.
21 plus and present in Arizona, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia, or Wyoming. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-877-70-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-46 73369 in New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming, or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Yeah, as long as we're talking about adding zeros to paychecks here, let's get to Lamar Jackson. I mean, the man needs and is in search of a new contract, or a contract extension, I guess we should say. He's still playing on the rookie deal, and it's a rookie deal, you know, befitting of a late first-round draft pick there with the Baltimore Ravens. And he's put this deadline into place, Amber. He said, hey, I'm not going to negotiate this in the regular season. So look at September 11th, the start of the regular season, the Ravens at the Jets in New York as the deadline, because once we hit the regular season, he's not going to talk about it. All that having been said, there's a guy whose game back in his day was the closest thing we had to Lamar Jackson when Steve Young was playing, because he had the mobile element to his game that you see now with Lamar Jackson. Lamar's a cheat code. He's a video game relative to the overall flat-out speed that Steve Young had. But Steve Young is uniquely qualified as a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion to dissect Lamar's game. And he says Lamar could be the greatest player in the history of the game, but that there is something holding him back. Here's what Steve Young had to say.
Why isn't he getting paid to be Patrick Mahomes? Because they haven't given him a chance to be Patrick Mahomes. So until they do, Lamar Jackson's damned because of what the Ravens are doing, not because of Lamar Jackson. I can't wait for someone to train Lamar Jackson in the sophisticated passing game. I think he'd be the greatest player in the history of the game. He's being held back by the Ravens. I want the full measure of who Lamar Jackson is. And the full measure is not being brought forward by the Ravens. And if that's not the case, then get out and find someone who will.
You hear that from Steve Young, who is blessed to be in one of, if not the most stable dynasty in the history of the NFL. But you hear that assessment of the Ravens, Amber. What jumps to your mind?
I'm a bit surprised by that assessment. I think we're talking about Harbaugh only having suffered his second losing campaign in 14 seasons with this team, right? And so we're talking about the use of Lamar Jackson with this coaching staff, like they're underutilizing him. I mean, we are talking about a player who won an MVP back in 2019. It's not like he hasn't gotten to show us any of his good stuff, Randy, over the years, because we've seen all of that from Lamar Jackson. Now, I know there's still questions for whatever reason that have plagued Lamar Jackson, stepping back to high school, frankly, about his arm. And some of that is what happens to dual threat quarterbacks generally. And some of that is because they do utilize his legs more than even a lot of dual threat quarterbacks get used. I mean, it's remarkable. He had some crazy stat. He ranked 23rd in the NFL in rushing last season, despite the fact that he missed nearly six full games. And he's a quarterback. Yeah, like, that's how insane it is with Lamar Jackson. So I understand that he's utilized in a way that we aren't normally used to seeing, except for I also feel like in that sense he's remarkable, and that is what makes Lamar Jackson so special. Now, in terms of his arm and the questions with the passing, I it's frustrating because I kind of thought all of that was going to go away back in 2019 when he won that MVP. Apparently it's never going to go away. I don't know if him winning a Super Bowl even makes that narrative go away, Randy, but I guess in fairness right now to the naysayers, even though I'm not one of those who's a naysayer of Lamar Jackson, he did throw 13 interceptions in 12 games last season, given an entirely decimated team in the Baltimore Ravens all last season long. I mean, that was probably the most injured or one of the most injured teams in the entire NFL last season, but he did throw 13 interceptions in 12 games. So that's why people can point to those stats and say, well, you know, yeah, sure, he started off last season looking like an MVP, but then he struggled there when it comes to his arms. But I find him to be a pretty remarkable player. I'm just surprised at the criticism there being as passionate as it was with how he's utilized.
I think the Baltimore Ravens, if you talk to people who are in the National Football League, who are around the National Football League, Baltimore has a reputation as being a stable, forward-thinking franchise. They live for the now. They live for the future. They've been successful in both. They plan to be successful in the future, and they're a tough team to bet against. The quarterback position being what it is, the most important and impactful position in professional team sports, like, they have their answer there. I'm surprised that they haven't been able to work out the deal so far. But in terms of X's and O's on the field, you wonder if is Lamar being held back by the team, or does the team understand what they have in their quarterback and they're doing their best to mask his limitations? Not because he's a mobile quarterback or for any of the draft criticism that he had, but you would say that about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not mobile, so you designed an offense that gets the ball quickly out of his hands because of Tom Brady's limitations. All quarterbacks have limitations. Patrick Mahomes has limitations. Aaron Rodgers has limitations. You design a system designed to mask those and maximize the talents and the skill set. So I'm not advocating for the Ravens, nor am I endorsing what Steve Young's. I'll defer to Steve Young, clearly, but I'm not saying either side is right. I'm just curious if it's this chicken or the egg situation with regard to the Ravens.
Well, that's the problem, I guess, is that we don't really know. I mean, like I said, you can kind of make the argument either way. Is Greg Roman, when he designs the offense, because there is criticism about not letting him take the next step. There is that criticism, right? Where the Ravens finished 17th in the league in yards per pass attempt last season, 20th in touchdown passes, the fifth worst in terms of interceptions last season. So there are questions when it comes to the Ravens passing game.
Yeah.
But how much of that is Lamar? How much of that is Lamar's ability? How much of that is Roman designing this offense? I don't really know what to point at, because we don't fully, I guess, get to see it. I mean, the departure of Hollywood Brown also doesn't help this conversation, even though he comes out and he says, no, you know, I enjoyed playing with Lamar Jackson. It wasn't that.
No.
But there is this idea, do receivers like playing with Lamar Jackson? Or is it that receivers don't like playing within that system because that system's not necessarily designed to utilize them the best way because they are too reliant on the run and on Lamar Jackson's ability with his legs? I don't know what to attribute it to. I do know that it has been very successful in the past, and I think that the Ravens would have been a very good team last season even under that system had they just been healthy.
We're going to ask Robert Griffin III this question. We were going to ask him for his thoughts on what Steve Young had to say. RG3 himself, one of the more prolific, I mean, he put up some prolific seasons there for the then, we'll just say the Washington football franchise. And who should be the Steelers starting quarterback this season? RG3 going to join us next on ESPN Radio. This is Canty and Carlin with Randy Scott and Amber Wilson filling in for the guys on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, that's appropriate music selection there to come into a quarterback discussion where we're breaking down quarterback battles. And who better to do that with, Amber Wilson, than somebody who won a few quarterback battles in his day? It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. She's Amber Wilson down there in Florida. I'm Randy Scott here in Bristol, Connecticut, where it feels like Florida, Amber. It's like 92 degrees outside. We're about 6 degrees and 2 Lachey's away from it being 98 degrees outside. I'll say that.
Oh, a joke that only people over the age of 35 understand. Well, and probably that might be overstating it, frankly. It might be like 38 and up.
Guy who's too young to get a 90s boy band reference is joining us now on the same phone number that you can call in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Robert Griffin III, our ESPN football analyst. And when I say football, I mean you're going to see him on college football coverage. You're going to see him on NFL coverage. He was on Monday Night Countdown last night for that Bears and Seahawks game, and then he stayed up late and hung with Scott Van Pelt on the SVP show. So, RG3, man, we appreciate the time. I know you're busy. When you were out there last night and you saw this quarterback situation on both the Seahawks sideline and the Bears sideline, man, take this however you want to take it, Robert. What did you see from either quarterback who really got some burn last night in Geno Smith for Seattle, who's trying to fend off Drew Lock, and then in Justin Fields, who the Bears just want to see improve this season?
Yeah, well, guys, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you love what you've seen from Justin Fields the last two games, right? He went out in the first game, and he was decisive. He moved the ball down the field. He gave his receivers opportunities to make those 50-50 catches, or as I like to call them, the HBO catches, help a brother out. And he looked like he had a plan every time he came to the line of scrimmage. He was checking things at the line of scrimmage, giving receivers signals because he could see the blitz was coming. I think Chicago Bears fans should be encouraged. Now, on the other side for the Seahawks, man, it was not pretty. Geno Smith had an opportunity to go out there and truly stamp that he should be the starter for the Seattle Seahawks, and he did not do that. Their offense looked lethargic. They went 3-0 in the first two possessions. And honestly, I mean, COVID might have actually helped Drew Lock solidify his case for being the starting quarterback because of how bad they looked without him. So if I'm Seattle, I'm actually knocking on the door of my neighbor, the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm saying to them, what do you want? We need Jimmy Garoppolo. That would give them an opportunity to go out and have the best chance to win. But right now, things aren't looking great for Seattle, and I hate to see such a great dynamic group of offensive skill players go to waste with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Noah Fant, Kenneth Walker III, and Rashad Penny. I mean, they have countless weapons there that these quarterbacks just don't seem like they can get on the same page with.
The problem is the 49ers, RG3, would probably close the door in their face and say, hey, we're not trading Jimmy G within the division, right? But if there was some way for Garoppolo to find his way to Seattle, say they cut him, he makes his way to Seattle, do you feel like the Seahawks are a team that are just a quarterback away, if it's not Geno Smith or Drew Lock, that they could actually do something here?
No, I don't think they're a quarterback away, but they have to decide whether they want to be a contender or they're rebuilding. With the offensive skill players that they have, they're definitely contenders, right? But the offensive line is struggling. On the defensive side of the ball, they've gotten rid of every single historic player that they've ever had, with the last one being Bobby Wagner. So I honestly don't think the 49ers would slam the door in their face at this point, because if they release Jimmy G, there's a good chance he could wind up in Seattle. But if they trade him to Seattle, their asking price is going to be a little bit higher because he would be within the division. Where else can Jimmy G go right now other than to the Cleveland Browns? And if I'm him, I don't want to go there. And if I'm the Cleveland Browns, it might be too short notice for him to come in and start at this point in the year and give him a chance in those first 11 games without Deshaun Watson.
We're talking with Robert Griffin III here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson and Randy Scott in for the guys. We don't have to play the Steve Young sound, right? Like we don't have to like go ahead and roll that out. But RG3, are you aware of what Steve Young had to say about the Ravens? It was as critical as I've heard Steve, and that's because Steve is just a better human being than most of us. But Steve sort of calling the Ravens on the carpet and being like, hey, they're not using Lamar Jackson correctly. Like, the biggest impediment to Lamar's advancement in his career and his improvement as a quarterback is his own franchise. When you hear something like that from a guy like that, how's that grab you?
Yeah, guys, I was there. I was on the show when he said it. And it was appalling to me when he said it, because you can't look at the Baltimore Ravens and say holistically as a franchise they are impeding Lamar Jackson's growth. I was there for 3 years in the locker room in that building. I know how much work they put into Lamar. I know how much work Lamar has put into it, whether it's new and emerging technology that they bring in to help fix some of his mechanics, whether it's special coaches for throwing coaches to help him see the field and work on all his mechanics even more. Lamar has put in the time. The Ravens have put in the time. Here's the problem, guys. The reason that Lamar has not developed as a passer is because they haven't allowed him to do it, but it's also because their personnel doesn't allow them to do that. In the last 3 years, the Ravens have only thrown the ball more than they've run it one time. That was last year, and they had a losing record. The previous 2 years, they ran the ball more than anybody in the NFL. I mean, overwhelmingly more than anyone in the NFL. So their personnel right now calls for them to use three tight end sets, have three or four running backs, and allow Lamar Jackson to be a high-percentage passer, which he was in 2019 when he was a unanimous MVP and led the league in touchdown passes with 36. So when I hear Steve say that, it's like, yeah, Lamar had Patrick Mahomes' weapons or Justin Herbert's weapons, yes, he would be a more prolific passer, but he doesn't have that. So the coaches have to build their system around what they have, and Baltimore Ravens fans know this. Greg Roman is an unbelievable run game specialist. No wide receiver on the free market wants to come play in Greg Roman's offense because they're not going to get the ball as much. The Ravens are a run-first team. Mm. So the only way for the Ravens truly to allow Lamar to shine the way that Steve is talking about and becoming the greatest quarterback this game has ever seen, which I believe he can do, they have to change the OC. Because if they don't change the OC, no one's going to want to go to Baltimore.
Might have been what cost them Hollywood Brown as we go into this season. But switching gears on your way out here, RG3, you had now 24 hours to digest the Deshaun Watson news, as we all have, or almost that anyways. What are your overall thoughts about what happened with the settlement with Deshaun Watson's suspension?
Yeah, guys, I'll start with the NFL business side of it, right? The NFL made a business decision. They wanted to get this over with. That was good for the league. It was good for Deshaun Watson. It was good for the Cleveland Browns. But it wasn't good for the women who were impacted by Deshaun Watson's behavior. And that's where I think the focus needs to be, right? Judge Sue L. Robinson ruled that Deshaun Watson had committed nonviolent sexual assault, had committed nonviolent sexual misconduct, and that he endangered those women when he was in those massage therapy sessions. That is where the buck stops for me. As soon as she ruled that and that became fact, we got to stop talking about games. We got to stop talking about fines. There's no amount of games you can suspend him for or a fine that you can levy on him that would make those women feel better about the situation. So for me, I don't understand why we're trying to have this discourse about, well, the NFL did all they could do. No, they didn't. Roger Goodell could have stood up and said, I'm suspending him for a season, and I'm going to go for more. He had that right. He decided not to do that, and they compromised because they are the National Football League. They're not the National Trial League, and they dropped the buck with an opportunity to show that they had learned from all their past mistakes with not supporting and standing up for women, and I'm just sickening by it. I'm just sickening for me as a father of three daughters, soon to be four. I would never want my daughters to be exposed to that type of behavior from one of the biggest stars in one of the best leagues in the entire world. It's just sickening.
Yeah, listen, get to at RG3. It's RG and then 3I. So RGIII. You get at him on Twitter. He has 2 million followers. You can't miss him. But you get there, and you have tweeted out, Robert, your segment today from First Take. It's about 45 seconds. It takes no time to listen to it, and it's going to stay with you for the rest of the day. And you're getting some good run off of that, and for good reason. So thanks for the time today. Thanks for the take, and we'll catch up with you soon, all right?
All right, guys. Thank you. God bless.
All right, Robert Griffin III there joining us as all guests do here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Did you just call Roman numerals eyes?
I didn't want to
call you out while had RG3 on the phone, but
it's like, what do you think you're doing right now? So how would you say it though? Like, his Twitter handle is
RG Roman numeral 3.
That, no way. No, none chance.
I think so.
I'm looking around at nothing but shaking heads right now. We are silently judging you in Bristol.
Instead of I.
That's what it
is. You didn't even say capital I. So this could just be lowercase I's. Now people are going to be very confused searching for RG3 on Twitter.
They're going to find him, though, if you do lowercase I's. It doesn't matter, lowercase or uppercase. Canteen Carlin brought to you by Boost Mobile, a proud sponsor of the 2022 Department of Defense Warrior Games. With Boost Mobile, feel the power of more money in your pocket on one of America's largest 5G networks. A pair of 40-year-olds. Got it done for the Cardinals. It got us thinking about the best careers past 40. We're going to get into that. Amber Wilson, bully, Randy Scott, victim, Canteen Carlin, ESPN Radio. Canteen Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Amber Wilson, Randy Scott, in for the guys. We have seen fights at joint practices this week. Actually, we've seen it for a couple of weeks now, and that's going to happen. You get tired of hitting your own teammates. You start hitting somebody else and taking exception to that. Brandon Ayuk, who's just a freak talent wide receiver for the 49ers, he was outspoken about these joint practices that the Niners have been having with the Vikings, Amber. He goes, they were boring and a waste of time. He goes, it was good work. It was good work going against somebody different environment, but I didn't like it. He's talking to Jennifer Lee Chan of the NBC Sports Bay Area group out there, and he goes, I feel like it was a waste of time personally. It was boring for sure. Does Brandon Ayuk have a point, Amber?
Well, I think he has a point if you're Brandon Ayuk, right? Because he's making the team. So there's that. I think probably, generally speaking, training camp, joint practices, even preseason games are far more boring if you know you're making the 53, Randy, because... Yes. So much of this process is to get the guys who are on the fence there and might not make the roster their reps, and also to try to break up some of the monotony, to try to have you go against somebody else, right? And so you're not just matched up and paired up with the same guys on the same team who you have been throughout the last couple months now, or stemming back to OTAs throughout the summer. And so I guess from that perspective, you would think that it would be less boring. But the problem is, and Ayuk said this, the problem is that, yeah, they run very basic stuff against each other at a joint practice because they're not going to show you anything they got, right? So yeah. It's going to be very basic football. And that seemed to be one of the things that he had a problem with. Also, though, he had a problem with limited touches. He said, I was getting a little irritated, have only touched the ball like 3 times in the past 2 days, but that's besides the point. I don't think that is besides the point. I think that's exactly why you were so bored. And again, the whole reason you got so few touches is because you're making the team. So ultimately, kind of a good thing that you're so bored.
Well, a good thing to be bored, yeah. But here's the thing about Trey Lance as a quarterback. Like, there's a little bit of a Lamar Jackson element to it where if you want to put up prolific stats, if you're going to catch 140 balls a season, playing with Trey Lance is not the way to do it. It's because he's young, but also because the offensive scheme is going to be designed to just spread the football around. George Kittle is the most consistent receiving threat in that offense. It's not even Deebo Samuel. It's George Kittle. And they're going to use the ground game. They're going to use Trey Lance's mobility. So if Ayuk's frustrated now, I mean, I got bad news for you. Like, let's check back in November when he's sitting on about you know, maybe 45 targets and 25 catches and one or two touchdowns. Like, he's been a guy who has had a ton of hype over the last couple of seasons because he is an athletic freak, but he's not necessarily in the right scheme. And that's not a preseason problem. That's an offense problem. More Canteen Carlin on ESPN Radio on the way.
6-0 here, Cardinals, and the pitch to Pujols is hit deep down the left field line towards the wall, and it is gone! A grand slam for Albert Pujols! Pujols hits number 690.
I'd shout out the Cardinals radio network there as Albert Pujols had a pinch hit grand slam for the Cardinals to back his fellow, I will say, aging veteran there for the Cardinals, Adam Wainwright, who threw an absolute gem as the Cardinals are just rolling, putting the Brewers in their rear view in the NL Central. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, Amber Wilson down there in Florida, Randy Scott here in Bristol, Connecticut. It got us thinking here to be, you know, and Pujols said, hey, we're playing right now. I think the way that we're expecting ourselves to play earlier in the year. I don't think anybody expected Pujols to be doing this, Amber. I mean, he hasn't had two healthy feet in several presidential administrations. Like, it's been a while since Albert Pujols has been fully healthy, and yet he's out there mashing. I think St. Louis deserves a ton of credit for how they're using him. You have to be a little sporadic, I think, with somebody on the wrong side of 40 in professional sports. He's 42 years old, is Pujols, and he's just been red hot. He's mashing. He's closing in on 700 career home runs. I think he's six away now from Alex Rodriguez on the all-time home run list. But it got us thinking, Amber, who are the best athletes of that vintage, of that experience, of that mint level?
I don't think you and I should be calling anybody vintage, right? These are young chaps. I mean, the Cardinals.
You're not 40. You're not 40.
I'm about to be.
Okay.
You're
disqualified from this conversation.
I'm very young. I'm 39. All right. Pujols. It's not just Pujols. It was also Adam Wainwright. I mean, it's remarkable. Yeah. The Cardinals are the first team in big league history to have a player at least 40 hit a grand slam and another at least 40 to pitch seven shutout innings in the same game. So the Cardinals are out here making you and I feel young, and I'm here for it. This is the 40s, the new 30, you know, that's what they say, Rand.
So Pujols is 42. So I can look at it and be like, I still got time. Like, that's what I do now at 40. I turned 40 this year and I look back and I'm like, well, I could still get a call from like a minor league team. Like, if
they
need somebody.
Wait, you just turned 40?
I turned 40 this year. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Wait, when was your
birthday? I did. And I did turn 40 in May. Yeah.
Oh, May. Yeah. Oh, gosh. We're months into your 40s.
Exactly. I'm old.
Elderly.
Yeah. I'm not. Elderly vintage is what I chose to say. I'm not trying to. That's not the word that I use. I'm trying not to, put all of the, password security questions out there, like, oh, you turned 40. When was your birthday?
Well, I'm not going to actually. Yes. But I have a feeling I could probably Google Randy Scott and probably figure out your age. You're very famous.
Just for interest. Like, what street did you grow up on? Like, if we were just to throw that, out there. Last 4 years social. So, all right. So the question that we came up with here was the best athletes over the age of 40. Not current, but all time. Like, the ones who've been the most productive on the wrong side of 40. And there's a fun list. Do you need me to prime you on this, Amber? Do you have some in mind that you want to throw out there?
Well, I have seen a list that, because our producer, Devin Kane, he also helped us out with throwing out some of his nominations. Ric Flair was one of his nominations.
That's not bad.
Woo! What do you mean that's not bad?
It's not bad. Like, he was out there. You could put him out there for the wrong side of 50.
I could do amazing things after 40 if somebody, wrote my story to do it.
Wow, you're going to do that. You're going to do that. You're one of those, huh?
Amber.
Don't freak anybody else.
Don't do that.
I'll do the story. Everyone calm down.
I thought you were going to say Barry Bonds, and I was going to be like, yeah, but there were.
Oh, I don't have a problem with Barry Bonds.
There's a problem with Barry Bonds. But, all right, I'm going to say Gordie Howe. The man had 113 NHL goals and 155 assists. So 268 total points after turning 40, and he fought well into his 40s, like physically fought. He threw hands.
Tom Brady's the one, right? Tom Brady's the one, obviously, him still out here doing it at 45. He's won two Super Bowls since he turned 40. Tiger Woods also, three PGA Tour wins, including the Masters.
I don't know about 40. We're not going to talk about Tom Brady. Amber Wilson, Randy Scott, more Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.